Mistakes will be made, but when does it cross the line to inexcusable? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, you'll hear the conclusion of a conversation between ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and John King, who with his wife Martha co-founded the King Schools. On a routine flight Saturday, their 2009 Skyhawk was met in Santa Barbara by carloads of armed police looking for a stolen 1968 Cessna 150, which once had the same N number. That stolen plane was deregistered in 2005, which means the El Paso Intel Center, which called in the tip on the arriving plane to local police, is using data at least 5 years out of date. That carelessness would be bad enough, but John discovered this has happened before, to another pilot in the same aircraft, and the erroneous data was never corrected.
This aircraft, this very same aircraft, had been through this already before.
Yes, when the airplane was first delivered, it's the first 2009 airplane, and Cessna took ownership of it. And Cessna, their first 2009 172S. And when they flew it for the first time from Independence, Kansas, to Wichita, Kansas, the cops met this guy, the pilot who was flying it, and did exactly the same thing, handcuffs, and they determined that this indeed was not a stolen airplane at that point a year and a half ago, and no one took it off the database.
And the problem, of course, occurs here above and beyond the inconvenience and the affront and the fear and all that goes with this, is that whenever there's a situation when guns are drawn, there is the potential for injury or death.
Yeah, someone's going to get killed eventually doing this.
Well, I sent you one documented example of this kind of incident that occurred last year in Ramona. There have been a number of other incidents reported. It is going on out there. It is occurring. There's no question that there's a problem here, and yet nothing seems to be done about it. And you're right. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get killed, and the one concern I have from the little I've seen from some of the reaction is above and beyond the fact that this happened to two people who are so well known in the industry and so well respected. Above and beyond that, it's happening to Joe and Jane Pilot out in middle America, out in East Who Cares, Kansas.
It's happening routinely, I understand.
Very routinely. And this has been confirmed to me by folks that I've worked with in the past in federal law enforcement who have described their own takedowns with information and how many times they've had to deal with errant information. And matter of fact, one thing that was particularly curious about this, in that this record is well over 5 years old of the original theft.
I think the original theft, I believe, was 8 years ago, I think.
Now, but he said that he wouldn't even, one federal officer I spoke to yesterday said he wouldn't touch any information that was more than 6 months old because it's, if not wrong, certainly at that point, certainly suspect. And he said there's also ways to do takedowns. And he said the drastic takedown of two people who show no signs and no outward intent to do anything harmful in an aircraft that obviously has not, previous to that, shown any aberrant or aggressive behavior. The guns drawn and so forth seems a bit drastic.
Well, as they released us, they said, well, we had to do this. And they said something like, I'm sorry we had to do this. I'm sorry for what happened, but I'm sorry we had to do this. And I said, well, it seems a bit extreme to me. And, oh, no, we had to do that. But the point is they didn't have to do that. An airplane is a bit different than a car. Once you've got it all shut down and so on, you're not going to quickly get out of there. You know, they could have simply let us taxi to the FBO, shut down the airplane, walk out of it, and come talk to us. And they could have determined all of this without putting everybody at extreme risk.
On top of that, as I understand, the information that would have been imparted as part of this warning or this inquiry about the nature of this aircraft is that there would have been an N number, there would have been a serial number, there would have been a color or colors of the aircraft, the type of aircraft. And the colors and the type of aircraft would not have matched. They would have to have known right away that they were up to something that didn't make any sense. Plus, the fact that it was a year that certainly didn't match a 2009 172S.
Yeah, the aircraft that was stolen was a 1968 Cessna 150. Unfortunately, the police can't tell the difference between a 1968 Cessna 150 and a 2009 172. Also, it took me, after we got to a computer, or actually my cell phone, I did it on my cell phone, less than 60 seconds to check the FAA registration number for this airplane and to realize that it had belonged to that 150 and reassigned to this airplane, and the 150 registration number was canceled 4 years ago. Well, they could have figured that out and realize the airplanes don't match. This thing was canceled 4 years ago. Well, it's the old airplane. Never taken off the list. They could have figured that out in the same 60 seconds I could have figured it out in, but they didn't. They either didn't bother or didn't know how to do it.
Well, John, have you had any interface at all since this incident with anybody in a position to do something about it, to fix it?
Well, you know, a lot of the people in the FAA Alphabet organizations have been very interested in this and called about it, and I suspect that what is going to happen is that there will be some high-level inquiries about it. I think this is probably the best chance we've had ever to get this changed. And Craig Fuller has called, Ed Bowen has called. Craig, as you know, is president of AOPA, and Ed Bowen's president of NBAA. And I suspect that there's going to be some efforts to get this changed.
Yeah, I don't think you really appreciated the original intent behind the words when I told you yesterday that, to a certain extent, this was the best thing that could have happened under the circumstances, that it happened to somebody so visible. Of course, at the time, I'm sure that you didn't think that way.
Well, we have a lot of people tell us, oh, thank God it happened to John.
You know who your friends are, huh?
Right. Well, I don't quite feel that way about it. But we are, you know, we're friends of Jim Campbell, and we can contact Jim Campbell. Not everybody knows how to do that. It does make a difference that we're in a position to know how to respond to this in a constructive sort of way.
Well, the thing I do appreciate particular in the conversation we had yesterday is that your concern was not that this happened to John and Martha King, but that it happened in such a way that it can happen to anybody. And when guns are drawn, somebody can be hurt or killed. And your concern in no uncertain terms yesterday was, how do you keep this from happening again? And how do you keep somebody from getting hurt?
Yeah, it is going to happen again unless we can make some changes.
In the spirit of bring me solutions, not problems, what do we do to fix this? More with ANN's Jim Campbell and King School's co-chairman John King in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking to John King about his encounter with armed police at Santa Barbara, caused by careless data handling by a federal agency charged with connecting the dots. It happened to John and Martha, to another pilot in the same plane, and, as we're finding out, to other pilots in other planes. One obvious question lingers.
John, what recommendations would you have? Let me give you the forum here. You're speaking now to elected officials, people in power. What do you suggest needs to be done here to prevent the kind of, I hate to say it, but lawful terrorism that occurred to you on Saturday?
Well, you know, really what it matters is what you care about. Do you care more about catching someone who might be flying a stolen aircraft, or do you care about protecting the safety and liberty of society, of the people in society, of citizens? And that right now society is more interested in keeping order than they are in protecting the lives of people. because you can see how this decision went. They weren't going to pass up on the opportunity to apprehend what they thought was a stolen airplane, and it didn't bother them so much that they were putting our lives at risk in the process. And if you look at the illogic of it, that we had filed an IFR flight plan, told them where we're going, and so on. This is not a profile. You hate to use the word profile, but we profile people all the time. Someone walks behind you in the dark. You'll take a quick look at them to see whether you're in trouble or not. We profile all the time. And one part of it is there's so much of an emphasis on political correctness that they can't use common sense. And another part of it is that we have given people like Epic a carte blanche. They have a blank check because it has to do with security, and they care more at the moment. It's probably going to be a pendulum that swings more about security than they do about civil liberties.
Now, this is a term we coined some time ago. We call security theater, the look of security without the effect of security.
Yes, absolutely. Well, in fact, early on after 9/11, the government kept saying we want to make people feel safe. They didn't say anything about being safe. It's all about feeling safe.
Well, John, I have to tell you, I'm sorry for the circumstance you went through. I'm glad you got through it with a minimum of disruption. I hope under the circumstances something good and positive will come of this, because nobody wants to see a negative occur, but if it is going to occur, you want to see it become a positive nexus for change.
Yeah, you want something good to come out of it. And maybe if we all get together and focus on it in the proper way, something good will come out of this.
So I assume the next King video is how to deal with airport security?
Well, I tell you what, if someone says, what advice do you have if someone gets in this situation? Well, the advice is comply with everything the police say.
Oh, absolutely.
No time to argue with them.
John, I'm glad you and Martha are fine. And we wish you nothing but the best, and we sure appreciate you putting this out in front of everybody so that at some point, somewhere, somehow, something positive can happen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim.
If anything positive comes of this in terms of better database management by federal security agencies, we'll let you know, assuming they don't keep that secret too. In the meantime, if you have a reissued N number, look down the page on the FAA's online database. Find the previous holder of your number and see if you can find out what happened to that aircraft. It might be important to know. John King is co-founder and co-chairman of King Schools. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.